title which we're going to talk about, and that is be available all times to praise the Lord. Be available all times to praise the Lord. And probably this can at times be the most neglected in our walk. We know if we come together in the house of God, yes, we always start with praise and worship. And that's often how the Bible presents it. We start with praise, praiseful songs. You can tell a song, a chorus that has praise, by its nature, by its sound. And then from praise moves on into worship. Because worship then begins to prepare your heart and spirit that you are going to meet with the Lord in a special way. And we also need to be aware of this when we're away from the assembly, and that we're on our own out in that world with all that it has to offer, which many times is trials, temptations, overcoming. Yet we still need to learn to praise the Lord. And that's why I'm calling this teaching this morning, be available all times to praise the Lord. And there's great power in praise because it helps us to keep focus. Not only does it help us to keep focus on the Lord, but also it has a tremendous strengthening ability. In actual fact, praise, worship, has an awful lot of influence even on the body. Now, psychologists will tell you that music has great power and influence on man. It has a great ability to lift him up out of the doldrums or out of depression. Now, if psychology and medical science is saying this, then how much more for us who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who have the capability and the ability to be able to praise and worship God, because we are made and created for God's praise. We are created and made to worship Him. And so we see that there's an awful lot in this that we still at times haven't grasped. And I want us to look at this morning in light of Scripture. But the Lord showed me as I was preparing this, and very often He will take me to gardening, because I like gardening, and there are some of us indeed who like gardening and are good gardeners. But the Lord revealed to me as preparing this, that plants, when planted in a garden, obviously not only need good ground, ground that is prepared, or ground that is fed, they also need to be mulched very often, or if we're growing summer planting in pots or whatever it is, one of the things that is needful is to water them and feed them, because that helps them to grow. But there is also something else that is absolutely vital, that all those ingredients will not work unless plants are given light. Light is essential to keep the plants healthy and to grow into what we want them to be. So they not only need good ground, food, but they need light. And it is exactly the same for the believer. You have and are given weekly, twice a week, food, spiritual food. And that food is to help growth in your life. And that growth we call faith, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. But your faith is never going to be quickened, and you are not going to see the results of what faith can bring forth as we read the word of God, unless you have light in your life. And that light is very much connected with worship and praise. For it brings us out into the light. It causes us to experience the light of God, which is so powerful in praise and in worship. And that's what God revealed to me today. Probably very elementary to most of us, but that really blessed me in preparing this, as to just how important prayer, praise is. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, Be Available All Times to Praise the Lord. Now there's another little nugget of gold in the Bible. Many, I call these little nuggets of gold because they're little verses sometimes that we just miss, that we look over. And the Bible is filled with a lot of this sort of thing. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job, Job 35 and verse 10. Job chapter 35 and verse 10. And here it says something. Where is God my maker, who gives song in the night? Where is God my maker, who gives songs in the night? Now, that is quite interesting there. Remember the title, what we're calling this today, Be Available All Times to Praise the Lord. And I couldn't help but turn to the book of Acts, Acts 16, which most of us know and probably have got underlined in our Bibles. But here again, we see how we should be available any time, any hour in which to praise and worship God. And we have the wonderful story here, don't we, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Where Paul and Silas are imprisoned, and we take it up in verse 25, where we see that the Philippian jailer is saved. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prisoner, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. A very, very favorite story there. Most of us all know this. And most of us confess this over our family. This is why we can believe for our household, our family, salvation for them, which we see here. But what is connected with that? That is the question. What quickened faith there? What caused those prison doors to open? What caused that earthquake in which to do it? What caused those men in prison to not to run away? It was praise and worship. That was the power being displayed there. That is what was needed for faith to be quickened. That was what was needed to convict that jailer and his household, and to see their need of salvation and belief upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Something simple, yet we so overlook it, because we're so still consumed in our feelings, our emotions, what I'm going through, poor me, all the self-pity and everything. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anything but praising and worshipping God. And yet here, these men being beaten with stripes on their back, obviously in discomfort and pain, are singing hymns, praising and worshipping God. And here we see the power of praise and worship. And there are many, many other instances of this. Israel many, many times won her battles when she praised and worshipped God going into battle, because there's power in it. We even see this in warfare. We see these films of the past where they're going into battle, and there they've got the musicians there in front and the drummers, and they're singing songs. Well, if they understand that, how much more should be for the believers, whose warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And warfare, I've been binding up the stronghold and everything. Ah, but there's one thing that's been negligence that you haven't done. And that is, before you went into warfare, before you took authority over the enemy, did you start to praise and worship the Lord? Did you focus? Did you get your heart right, ready for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide? That is the question. We tend to only think this can happen to us if we come together in a meeting and we've got a song leader in front leading us. It's very sad if that is what your life comprises of as a Christian. And maybe that is why things don't work out in your life. This is maybe why you're finding yourself still battling depression and so on, because your life is not a life of praise and worship. This, brothers and sisters, is so essential for the overcomer. You see, the power praise brought about this miracle. And you see, the power is absolutely essential for us. It's not only essential for our everyday walk, but it's essential for our spirituality. We are spiritual people. We are called to walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. And those Christians who are fleshly and worldly, you will often find the problem lies because there's not praise, worship in their life. And we'll look at that later on, because we see there's also a counterfeit of praise and worship that is going on today. See, Satan knows. Satan hates true praise and worship. He can't stand it. Demons can't stand it. And that's why very often when true praise and worship is being offered up, if demons are present, they will manifest. We have seen that over the years. And not only is praise, worship, vital spiritually, but it's also important mentally. We're told in Corinthians to put on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ means that God gives me strength in which to cast down those thoughts, those negative thoughts, those things that try to war in the mind. And some at times say, I can't get this victory over the mind. I don't know what the problem is. There's such a battle going on there. Well, the problem may well lie is because you don't worship. You're not praising God. Or the only time you praise God and worship God is when you go to the meetings. That could well be the problem. We find that also worshiping, praising God is powerful physically over the human body. The human body, if the mind is not thinking right, if the mind is depressed, or you've allowed your circumstances to be depressing, it will affect you physically as well. So we see physically it has a power on us. And finally, of course, emotionally. Emotionally, many Christians at times are not stable, are not secure. And the reason is because they don't have praise, worship in their life. They only have praise and worship on a Sunday or when they go to a meeting. And so if we're not a people of praise and thanks before God daily, it's going to affect us spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And we wonder why there is so much sickness to be found in the house of God. You see, it is the Holy Spirit filling you for this. And we have to learn this. Let's turn back to Job, the book of Job. Yes, God was teaching Job a lot about worship and praising him and thanking God right in his trial. Very interesting, isn't it? Job chapter 8 and verse 21. Job chapter 8 and verse 21, which says, He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Who fills your mouth, your lips, your heart for rejoicing? There's the key to it, brothers and sisters. If you are constantly trying in your own strength to worship and praise God, then something is wrong. Because this will never glorify God unless the Holy Spirit takes the initiative, as he does in everything else of our life and walk. This is why we make so much about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the one living his life in and through you. Which means also the life that is in you is the one who worships and praises Almighty God. Jesus knew how to worship and praise his Father. And he's teaching us to do exactly the same. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Now he's talking all in the context of praising, worshipping, thanking God, and so on. But note what it says here. He is your praise. And he is your God. I'm going to be totally frank here. But a Christian who calls himself a Christian but can't praise and worship God, I have to ask whether they're really born again. Because if you are truly born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, something within you raises up to praise and worship God. The two go hand in hand. Why do I say this? Because it's quite clear it is. He is your praise. He is your God. He who has done for you these great and awesome things. The same God that inspired and wrote that there is the same God today now, because he changes not. That is the whole point. There's something wrong if a saint has to be worked on to worship and praise and thank God. There's something seriously, spiritually wrong. This is why God, over the years, has helped me in my ministry to be able to discern, to be able to see things, not to criticize, but to take away and pray and intercede over believers or those who confess themselves as believers, because that is a clear indication. If you go to medical science, there are two things that they do pretty quickly when they examine you. The first one is to take your temperature, and the other is your blood pressure. Because that tells a doctor or a nurse a huge amount about you and what's going on. And that also is like a spiritual thermometer or blood pressure taking. That tells you, it has told me over the years, a huge amount about a believer and where they're standing in God. Again, these things are not rocket science. They're quite simple, and yet they tell us an awful lot. What does Psalm 33 and verse 1 say? Psalm 33 and verse 1, we all know this well, because the Psalms are full of praise and thanks and worship. But here it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. And magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We sing it as well. We have a chorus. But I wonder, when we sing that, what we're actually saying there, what it's talking about. Because the psalmist says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. Which also means, wherever I am, whatever the situation, whether I'm at home, or whether I'm in prison, or whether I'm at work, or whether I'm driving the car, or whatever it will be, there is something within me that wants to rise up and praise and worship the Lord at all times. In other words, I'm available, I'm ready at all times. Which is an indication that the Holy Spirit, who's the one who inspires this, will use you at any time, any place, anywhere to worship and praise and thank his name. because that is initially what it's about. Hallelujah. We're also shown, again, I'm just picking out certain psalms here, because there's a huge amount on this, but Psalm 147, Psalm 147, and verse 1, of which he says here, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." And we note there it goes on how it builds up Jerusalem. So it has a building process to it. It creates strength. It focuses us. It brings us back. It shows us the one who's inspiring us, who saved us and redeemed us, who's given us life in Jesus. It brings us back to the simplicity of the faith. Because he says it's good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. So it brings about all the beauty, all the good things of God. It starts to put down the negative, the things that try to cause us pain or hurt, or whatever it is, how the enemy is so good at doing that. It casts down all that because it causes us to focus on the beauty, on the good things and the beauty of God. We need to be uplifted with that, brothers and sisters. We need to see the glory of God when we come together to worship and praise him. We need to have a light of our God when we worship and praise him. And there's something powerful when all the saints come together in which to do it, and led and inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit. Because so much stems from all of that. This is where the gifts start to flow. This is where prophecies start to come out, visions, exhortation, singing in the understanding, singing in the Spirit. How we have listened so much to the enemy. How we're looking so much to our circumstances. How we're taking our eyes away from the Lord and looking to poor self, poor me. The enemy knows, because that will always hinder worship and praise. Now, the nature of praise to the believer is sacrificial. Very often in nature, praise is sacrificial, and there is the problem. That is what sorts out those who want to be available at all times to praise and worship God. Yes, the title sounds very good, but there's only one problem with that. Very often, praising, worshiping, thanking God in nature is sacrificial. Why is it sacrificial? Well, because of the complexities of life and our daily walk and the things that happen and the news that we might hear, or we've seen something unpleasant, or fallen out with the boss at work, or had a row at home. Oh, it just goes on and on and on. These are all the complexities of life. Yet God says within all of that that you find yourself each day, you are to worship and praise me. And this is where we get the understanding of praise, worship, being sacrificial. And of course we know this well, don't we, in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's look at verses 15 to 16. Hebrews 13, verses 15 to 16. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with it such sacrifice is God is well pleased." So we notice that those two really work in context there. He says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer, which means that we make ourselves available. We're in that attitude any time to praise, to worship God. I'm always ready. The same as we're always ready to pray. We're always there when we can pray, speaking in tongues, speaking in the Spirit, wherever available. That's the nature of a soldier, which God is making out of us. Always ready, available for any orders. Ready at the bidding to do whatever the Holy Spirit says. So therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So it means that it's verbally heard. It comes out. You can't praise God unless you make some form of sound, a noise. That's why he's given us voices, so that we can lift them up to praise and worship him. But do not forget, he says, to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So that enables you with your worship and praise to be outward looking, to help, to do good things. Our works are to glorify God, because they come as a result of our faith, our belief. That is how we're seen as being fruitful. But note what we see every time, the power of praise and worship. Now I'm going to raise a question here, which I believe the Holy Spirit gave me. Do you, or can you, go a whole day without praising God? Can you, or do you, go a whole day without praising God? Well, only you can answer that one. And if you're truthful and honest, then that's going to tell you an awful lot. It might explain an awful lot that is going on in your life. And this today could be a mighty deliverance for some. The same as it was for Paul and Silas, that prison door that opened, and look at the blessing. This could be today the door opening for some. And God knows. Hallelujah. Psalm 72 and verse 15. Psalm 72 and verse 15, as we bring this to a conclusion now. 72 and verse 15. And he shall live. Psalm 72, verse 15. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. So here we are. It speaks about each day. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just now and again, or when I feel like praising God. We've shown you back also in Hebrews how that praise is sacrificial. It's sacrificial because of what we go through each day. And many, many times we don't want to praise and worship God. It's the last thing we want to do in our flesh. Yet God will inspire us in which to, in our weakness, praise and worship him. Because it is so powerful. The same as we have seen with Paul and Silas in their weakness, as they praised and worshipped God, it was so powerful that we saw that mighty miracle that happened. And that is the same for you and I, brothers and sisters, not just for these saints that we read about, but God is the same with us as well as with them and forever, and all those who worship and follow him. He's the same with all of us. But you see, much praise is needed, because we see today that a lot of praise that we see, sadly, is just inspired by entertainment. And there is the counterfeit praise and worship that sadly so much is seen amongst professing Christendom. You see, the enemy knows how to counterfeit. The enemy will always attack on worship and praise because he knows that praise worship opens prison doors. He's no fool. And so we have this counterfeit, and the inspiration of this simply comes out of entertainment. What do I mean, like? Well, when these people come together, or they come for these big meetings or conventions, whatever it is, you've got all your band or your orchestra in front, you've got all your song leaders. Now, we don't say that that is wrong, but what we are saying is, so often you will find that they are the ones that take the lead in worship and praise, which is not scriptural, it's not New Testament. The people, the saints who come together to worship God, are all the ones leading, inspiring, encouraging one another. Come with a song, come with a psalm, come with an exhortation. That's the word of God tells us. Now, of course, a song leader is there to help to keep us all in tune. But a song leader is never present to dominate and control the whole meeting, which you see in most of our meetings today. So immediately you've got a problem there. Immediately you've got control. And what does control tell us in Scripture? Very often the nature of that is witchcraft. This is why witchcraft is so rife in churches and charismatic churches today. They quench the Holy Spirit. It becomes soulish. It becomes worldly, which then starts opening the door to these alien spirits and demons that can come in and deceive. And we have, sadly, the mess that we see today. It is not a clean worship. It is not a holy worship. They don't know about worship that comes through sacrifice, through trials and tribulations. And most of these song leaders with these bands and everything, you will find that before a meeting, it's all been planned and organized. So they know pretty well what they're going to sing. They know how long it's going to be. And then, of course, the preacher will take over, or whatever it will be. That's what you're presented with today, brothers and sisters. But that is not what you find in the New Testament amongst the early saints. And not only this, but this will explain why depression and oppression is so prevalent in the house of God today. And I believe this is one of the keys to the problem. You see, even the word of God cannot be blessed if true praise and worship hasn't been before. Because everything focuses us, everything elevates us spiritually for the glory of God, in which his presence comes amongst us to encourage and inspire the word of God. If we don't worship and praise properly, you need to be a preacher to understand this, because it's hard to battle through. And so it's essential for every one of us to come prepared, prayed up, to worship and praise and lift the name of Jesus. But this explains why depression, bipolar, is so prevalent today, and sadly in Christendom. I've heard this. Many of the elders are having to counsel Christians that are down, depressed. It reminds me of King Saul, who needed David to play the harp before him because he was sinning, he was falling away, he was depressed. And it only was a shot, wasn't it? It only lasts for a while. And then he went back down into depression. And even he tried to throw a javelin at David while he was playing the harp. And eventually David, of course, had to flee for his life. But that's what we've got today. We've got Saul worship in our midst. Inspire me, lift me up. Doesn't matter what beat it is, doesn't matter what the sound is, as long as I like it and it lifts my soul up. Notice it's all emphasis on me, my soul, me. But you see, I said at the beginning, didn't I? That it is the Holy Spirit who takes the initiative. He is the one that elevates us into the presence of God through the power of praise and worship. That's where it always comes from. But we've got Saul praise today in the church, and it doesn't last because it's soulish and it's appealing to the flesh. True worship and praise does not appeal to the flesh. It is to the Spirit that it appeals to. We'll have to be on our guard with that. We all have to discern that. Now, of course, this is why I said before I close now that worship really starts first and then leads into praise, because worship will deal if there's a bit of a flesh problem or we're a bit down or depressed, which sometimes sadly we are. That's why the nature of praise is to help you to get into the presence of God. Worship is not so good for that at that time. Worship comes later. The mood, the tempo of worship changes. It becomes slower, more intimate. You no longer are so aware of the beat, the praise, the worship. You become more aware of the words that you start to sing. Worship makes you very sensitive to words that you are offering up to God, preparing your heart. Many times in worship, it can also be an expression of prayer through song that you're giving to God. So, are we available at all times to praise the Lord? That is the question. And we've looked at a number of things this morning as to how God works when we want to praise and we want to worship Him, even if it's a sacrifice of praise and worship, which very often it is. What are we going to give into? That's the question. Are we going to give in to our moods, depression, a rotten day that I've had, or are we going to just allow the Spirit within me to cause me to help to rise up above all of this and to get into praise and worship? Because then you find that the prison doors begin to open. And some of you, and I'm as your pastor, and I see what's going on, but some of you have need of prison doors opening in your life. And the only way that's going to happen, brothers and sisters, are you willing to be available at all times, wherever, in whatever place, to praise, to worship Him, and also that comes with that, thanks as well. You can decide that. Nobody else can force you. God will not even force you. But remember, your salvation, God choosing you in the first place, was for His praise and His worship. If you lose sight of that, then you lose sight of worshiping and praising God. Heavenly Father, again this morning, we thank You for speaking life into us. Thank You for Your word that brings deliverance, healing, salvation. Father, forgive us, Lord, that we have not praised You and worshipped You as we should. because we have thought more about self and how we feel and what I'm going through. Forgive us, Father, that we can fall victim to this even after all these years. But Lord, what should really happen to us? The more the enemy is trying to turn the heat up, the more the trials seem to come, the more we should just be worshipping and praising God. It should be fueling up even a greater desire to praise you and worship you. Lord, that's what we want to get to. And we know we will be tried and tested in this. But we thank you that you give us the words of eternal life.
Jesus is.